Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
So many champions.
Gordon's got it.
Oh, yes.
How good's that?
Wow.
So many defeats.
Unbelievable.
Oh. Triple M is proud to present a special podcast series, MG's Decade of Rugby League.
And MG, we arrive at the series of this podcast. Looking back, we're going to definitively name the 10 moments that mattered most.
Yeah.
From the decade. No small task.
Trying to decipher which of the top 10 in the last decade is like trying to pick which one's your favourite kid.
which you'll be doing at the end of this podcast. Yeah.
I haven't got 10 kids, but...
You can do a top five.
Okay. Yeah, five.
Now, before we start, we should give credit.
Some honourable mentions.
And criticism. No, credit and criticism to Digital Tony.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Producer Charlie.
They worked their little backsides off.
They sifted through the last decade of rugby league to give us a short list for the moment. So if you hear this 10-1 list and your moment that you think mattered most isn't in there, we'll give you their email addresses after this podcast.
And their address and their phone number.
And their address. We'll basically give them all the important credit card details, all relevant information you need. It's some honourable mentions that haven't cracked the top 10, MG.
Yeah, the Brookie Brawl between Manly and Melbourne, i.e. Glenn Stewart versus Adam Blair back in 2011. Cooper Cronk's series-winning field goal in 2012. The return of SBW for the Roosters was big. The Legends of Origin League.
Let's give that a particular shout-out, though, MG. That was your football game.
Yeah, it was. It was something we put together in 2 weeks because we saw how hard our brothers up and sisters up north were struggling with the floods in Queensland, and we quickly, every person that I rang, ex-Origin players from New South Wales and Queensland, not one of them said no. I just went down the list, and as I just, you know, there's another one. And in the end, we had 34 players, plus Andrew Simon made a cameo as well. we raised close to $400,000 for the floods, and... yeah, well, who could ever forget the anguish that they went through?
Oh, it was an amazing, and not that you would ever ask for it, but credit to you for the part you played and all that. And as you said, nearly $400,000 raised on such short notice. That's what rugby league does best, MG. Jarryd Hayne. We forget that happened this decade when he decided to chase his NFL dream.
Yeah, it might have been higher in the list, I suppose, if he'd cracked it for the San Francisco 49ers, but been a staple of their team, but I think it was kind of inevitable that it was a fleeting moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we've got some Origin moments in the top 10, but the 2014 New South Wales series misses out. Just
it does. Although it was fantastic to try to finally break the cycle. There's some other Origin moments in this that there's one Origin moment that was kind of like the coin try of 1994 for New South Wales. But, unfortunately, 2014 Origin Series just misses out.
All right, well, let's get into the list official. These are the 10 moments that mattered most in the decade just gone. We're counting them down from 10 to 1, starting at number 10.
Oh, there's a big punch up in centre of ground. Nate Miles with a left and a right from Gallen, and they both landed. They both landed flush. There was a little push and shove. And then Gallen has landed left, right on the face of Nate Miles.
Yeah, the introduction of the no-punch rule, I think that was inevitable, as was the shoulder charge. I think the shoulder charge was probably more of a shock when that got ruled out of the game. But when we see how big these athletes are these days, I think if you can't hurt your opponent with a legitimate tackle without using your shoulder or using your fists, well, you shouldn't be playing.
And I guess from a fan perspective, a game perspective, a culture perspective and all the rest of it, that last punch ever, you know, legally being allowed to be thrown by Paul Gallen, for a lot of people probably signified the end of their love for rugby league to a degree, because they always viewed the game in a certain manner.
Yeah, look, you know, guy, it's we've got to think about, age groups and demographics as we get older. And, you know, guys my age and around a bit younger, a bit older, they go, oh, come on, man, the game's going soft. But that was when we had an average forward size was 93 kilos and 5'11". These days, the rugby league player is a lot bigger and can cause a lot more carnage on the rugby league field. So, shoulder charge and the no punch rule, I think we don't need them in the game anymore.
And you're right, and the NRL knew that as well. They made the decision, but it was a defining moment for the decade because it was the one of those definitive lines in the sand that the NRL drew. Players have since stepped over it and been punished accordingly.
Yeah, and so they should be.
Yeah, all right. That was number 10. Number 9, a very recent moment, MG.
Penalty.
Two in.
It's over.
It's a 1. 2 in.
Beating New Zealand in 2017 was big. Last week was big. This is huge.
Yeah, and one that was groundbreaking, but I don't think one will that will be an anomaly. I think we'll see a lot more of it. I think this is this Tongan team, he's going to be a powerhouse in international rugby league within the next over the next decade. I think that's going to be one of the surprises of the 2020 era and beyond. I think Tonga are going to develop into a powerhouse. And look, this was obviously in the top 10, and a lot of people think this should be higher. But I think for the fact that once Taumalolo and Fifita pledge their allegiance to the Tonga national team, and now that all the young blokes who used to think that Origin was the pinnacle, now they think that playing in that red jersey for Tonga is, and it's going to be we'll see an influx of young guys making the change or making the switch to their native Tongan team.
You think that had Tonga not just beaten the Kangaroos recently, the moment where Jason Taumalolo and Andrew Fifita declared allegiance for Tonga might have made this list.
Yeah, true.
But I think the fact that not only have they declared their allegiance, that's then built the culture, built the momentum, and they've gone on to deliver this sort of a result, this victory probably knocks that other moment out of the top 10.
Good word you mentioned there, culture. They're developing one that's the envy of all other countries at the moment. I mean, Australia have long had the bragging rights of having the culture within their national side, and we still have. We've still got a fantastic culture, and I think most countries have. It's just that Tonga are the fairy tale story at the moment, and everybody wants to, even doesn't matter what nationality you are, everybody wants to see them go well.
Well, not only have they beaten Australia, in recent time they've beaten New Zealand and they've beaten Great Britain, so they've beaten the top three nations in the world. And there's the flow-on effect for those other teams as well that we've seen. PNG recently knocking off Great Britain as well.
Fiji. Cook Islands are in the World Cup.
There's that flow-on effect for particularly those other Pacific nations. So the performance of Tonga defeating Australia absolutely deserves to be in the top 10 moments of the decade, if, admittedly, there is a little bit of recency bias towards it.
Mm.
All right. Number 8 in the moments that mattered of the past decade.
Origin 2019, James Tedesco.
Cook throws to Murray. Murray then sends it on to Pierce, who didn't really want it. That gives it to Tom Trbojevic. Out to Ferguson. Runs down the sideline. He's ankle tapped, but he stands his ground. Throws it into the Tedesco. 15 out. Penty is back. Go to the line. Scores! Scores! New South Wales win! New South Wales win with a try with 27 seconds to go. You can't write this stuff.
Yeah, that was spine tingling. The fact that I had the privilege of being able there to calling that game with Dan and Gerds and Wendell, and seeing that happen, that was all after they'd come out of the tunnel, walking back from the Centre of Excellence at Homebush and to enter Sandman. Was just it could make a great movie, that one game.
Yep.
And see that last try scored, everyone was jumping out of their seats. I think because it was so recent, we think that might have to be a little bit higher. But I think because it's not a team, it's not from a team effort, it's a club team, it's more from a rep team. I liken it to the coin try for Queensland when Rabs coined that famous quote, "That's not a try, that's a miracle." We'll be talking about this try in the same breath for the next 10, 20 years as one of the best tries we've seen in Origin at a crucial point.
Narrative matters when it comes to this sort of stuff, when it comes to making lists and where sporting moments and athletes sit in people's memory. And this moment had absolutely everything. The series was tied 1-1. This was an underdog Queensland team, flipping of the narrative from the past decade of State of Origin. And you had Cam Munster, who was threatening to win the game off his own back, from fullback in this game for Queensland. And then in that final match-winning play, you had a bloke by the name of Blake Ferguson who 12 months or 6 months prior to this game was at odds with the coach.
Yep, redemption.
And then you had Mitchell Pearce.
Redemption.
A bloke who'd never been involved in a State of Origin winning series, despite having 18 games to his name, throwing the cutout pass out to the wing to set this whole thing up.
I said this will be a movie. I've even got the title for the movie. Blue No More.
All right, well, hold on. If we're going to go down this path, we need to finish this off. Right, Blue No More. Who's playing the Brad Fittler role?
Let's give him to, what's his name?
I feel like he needs, he's sort of could Kurt Russell play?
Like a Ben Affleck or someone.
Oh, Ben Affleck. I like that. Ben All right, Affleck. Ben Affleck in the lead role. I don't know if he can do an Aussie accent.
Yeah.
James Tedesco, who plays the...
Jimmy Tedesco, the star of the show.
I don't know if... I mean, Tom Cruise had put his hand up for it.
What about the dude off Guardians of the Galaxy? What's his name?
Christopher Pratt?
Yeah, Pratt.
Pratt? That's James Tedesco?
Yeah.
All right. You got Affleck as Freddy. You got...
Ferguson, we can give him to Batista. Dave Batista. I'm just thinking Guardians of the Galaxy.
You are. You're stuck in that.
Yeah,
all right. Who's playing Kevy Walters?
Guardians of the Galaxy, the little troll. someone out of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh,
what about the guy out of Game of
not
Thrones?
Nice.
Tyrion.
No, Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, Dinklage.
That is horrible.
He's playing Kevy.
Blue No More. The story of 2019. I love that. All right, that was an amazing moment. Let's move to number 7 on the list.
South Sydney can now celebrate. You see what it's mean to the players, what it means to the crowd, what it means to the club.
Yeah, look, this was South Sydney fans would think this should be higher, but the fact that they'd already won their competition, it was the first time in 34 years, so that makes it pretty profound. The way they did it, it's definitely one of their moments of the decade. Sam Burgess, who could forget the first charge of the game into James Graham? Bang, there goes your cheekbone. Any mere mortal would have been carried from the field on a stretcher and never to return, but not only did he return, he got the man of the match. And memorable moment, big time. The fact that Sam Burgess and Greg Inglis starred, who came together at the club in 2010, was another part of the narrative, which is our kind of our key word for this top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I mentioned this one at the time, or when Sam Burgess recently retired, MG, on the show. The John Sattler, for a lot of younger fans of rugby league, the story of John Sattler is just that, it's a story. They never saw it, they didn't understand the legend of him. But this gave this whole new generation of fans their John Sattler moment when Sam Burgess did what he did.
100%. That's a very good analogy. You know, John Sattler actually got his jaw broken, was hanging by a thread for the whole game of a grand final against Manly when he got King hit without looking. And I suppose it's different in the way because this is a head clash. It wasn't so sickening as John Sattler's. You could actually see his cheekbone being pushed in. So the fracture was immediate. And I think the fact that it was a grand final, the adrenaline would have overtaken the pain.
Mm.
If there's any, maybe it's a comp game, he might have thought about coming off, and obviously it would have come off because he would have thought about his long-term future. But the fact that it was a grand final just adds to the fairy tale.
Yeah, look, the fact that Russell Crowe's involvement as well played a part in this and everything he'd done in not only recruiting Sam, but also taking over the Bunnies in the way he has. So, look, it had the Hollywood touch to it from that perspective, and it was certainly, as you say, for South Sydney fans, it's a clear number one moment from the decade that we've just had. All right. Moving along, another premiership at number 6.
Bromwich to Smith, Smith to Hampton. Hampton, can he find a gap? He gets the ball away. It's back to Smith. Smith gets it away to Cronk. Cronk's got Corabetti with it. Have they got a chance here? Corabetti's put down. The siren sounds. Cronulla have won it. Cronulla have won it. 14 to 12. You can turn the light out now.
Yeah, finally they can turn the porch light on. it's their first ever premiership for the Sharkies. 1967, they came into the comp on the back of some adversity in the preceding years for this competition as well. The fact that they were dragged through the mud with the peptide saga made this win even more memorable. The fact that they got their team back together and somehow fashioned the grand final against Melbourne Storm, who were the red-hot favourites. Mm. It looked like a Storm were going to score up until the last couple of minutes, and then somehow Fifita got over for the winning try, and that was it. That was the Sharkies' first ever grand final winning victory, and it was a memorable one.
Absolutely, and you look back on, again, we mentioned Paul Gallen, 2014, the New South Wales series, didn't make it into this top 10, but for him to captain that premiership, he's played all his career at that one club, he captained that, and then there were so many, again, stories within this Cronulla Sharks team.
Yep.
And as you said, the adversity that they'd been through, the USADA stuff had only just wrapped up two years prior. And then off the back of what they've gone through since then, for the Sharkies fans to now be at least have this 2016 premiership to hold on to, you feel like they could get through the next couple of decades.
Yeah, they're looking good, aren't they? They've got a young coach, they've got a young team, got a couple of young centres who look great. They've got a couple of, young Britt Nakora is looking great.
Cherry.
Yeah, so look, the Sharks are looking good for the next three or four seasons, but this was their defining moment. I was lucky enough to win our first ever premiership at Penrith, and that's something you can never be taken away from you when you do the very first of something. And this Sharks team, well, albeit 14 years later after us, because we came in this competition the same year as the Sharks Penrith, they finally got one, and it was a joyous occasion.
Absolutely. But not the highest ranked premiership, first premiership for a club in the countdown. That comes next at number 5.
He hits it, he's got it! He's got the field goal! He's got the premiership! He has gone from, as I said, a captain to a legend and probably rugby league immortality.
I was lucky enough to think that the 89 grand final has been the best grand final I've ever seen. This one is a very close second. It had everything. It had the Kyle Felt try on the bell. It had Jonathan Thurston kicking the goal from the sideline to win the game, but scraped the upright. In fact, I think he hit the upright. It had the kickoff to Ben Hunt, who unfortunately dropped the ball. It had the scrum straight after the drop ball, straight back to Jonathan Thurston, who slotted the field goal to every single person on top of him jumping around like it was they won a grand final. Yeah. And they did. And that was, I think about these other grand finals in the top 10, South Sydney and Cronulla, and when I think of the Thurston one, I get goosebumps.
Mm.
It gives me goosebumps when I think about the way that they won their grand final, their first ever grand final, and the fact that it went down the way it did, they were behind for so long against the Broncos.
And that it was against the Broncos as well.
Yeah, that adds to it. That, again, this top 10, beautifully put together by our boys. The hard part was, that was the hard part. The easy part is putting him in line, because any of these top 10 could be number one.
And
because
what people might not remember about these two teams for this last, there was that stretch year.
There was a field goal.
It was like the last six games had been decided by 7 points.
Or less.
Total, across the six. There was some of the amount of games consistently between these two teams that were being decided by a point. And then we got the matchup in the grand final. And it was the same thing.
Unbelievable.
You thought that maybe we've had so many close games between these two sides, finally someone's going to blow it out. But no, the same thing again. So many stars on the park. One thing, people talk about, maybe they should share the NRL Grand Final around. This at Suncorp would have been another level.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it would have been. But I was saying that, ANZ Stadium, there was 80,000 there. You can get 50,000 into...
True.
Into Suncorp. Yep. It was a parochial, would have been a more parochial crowd.
Hmm.
But the game they put on for even fans of not these two teams was just, it's the best grand final since 1989 for mine.
And MG, importantly, the NRL got the entertainment right as well. Cold Chisel with a pregame entertainment.
There we go.
They nailed it.
There we go.
Everything was right about this. That was number 5 on the list, MG. We're getting to the pointy end. For number 4, we need to go all the way back to the start of the decade when this happened.
Over the last few weeks, it's come to light that the Storm has engaged in a long-term system of operating what might conveniently be called two sets of books. To their credit, this morning the Storm representatives have come in and confessed to a well-organised system of paying players outside the cap. On what we know, this amounted to $1.7 million over the last 5 years, including approximately $700,000 in 2010. The elaborate lengths that they went to hide the payments was quite extraordinary. The penalty will be the stripping of three minor premierships and two premierships, the return of $1.1 million in prize money that will be distributed to the other 15 clubs evenly, a fine of $500,000. In the 2010 season, all competition points earned thus far will be taken away, and the team shall not accrue any further points in the 2010 season. To Melbourne's credit, they've accepted the penalty in full.
Yeah, and I think the fact we have to go back so far, kind of the impact vanishes a little bit, but at the time, this was the biggest story ever in rugby league. The Melbourne Storm got their premiership stripped off them. They were calculated in their breach of the salary cap by so much money. And it was the first time that premierships have ever been taken off of the rugby league team because of a breach of a salary cap. And this was a magnitude story that just wouldn't stop. And we'd find something else about it. Then somebody else would fall on their sword. Then somebody else would have to leave the club because of... It was massive. It was so massive that probably deserves to be number one in this top 10 because it was the first of something very, very ordinary in the game. But ever since then, I think most clubs have tried their hardest to maintain the integrity of the salary cap.
With the exception of Parramatta in 2016.
Which is kind of a blimp on the radio, a blimp on the radar compared to this.
I think the fact that it's number four and it's a negative story shows, because we're a pretty positive show here.
Yep.
But the fact that it's a negative story and it's made number four on the list shows just how significant it was. You talk about it, it's the first time in the history of the competition premierships have been taken away. You go back to those years, nobody won the comp.
No.
And then 2010, the Storm had to play that entire first year of the decade for no points.
Yeah, it was a dog's breakfast, with due respect to every dog that's listening, especially my two, Buddy and Otis. Sorry, boys. But yeah, this was big, man. This was so big. But ironically, it saw one of their players from this era, the Storm, that is Greg Inglis, leave to go to the Bunnies and 4 years later win the competition with them. So I suppose in every story, you've got to try and find a silver lining.
Well, and for the silver lining for the Storm is it seemed to bond the players and the coaching staff and everyone else that stuck around because they went on to be, along with the Roosters, the team of the decade, as we talked about in the Team of the Decade podcast.
Yes.
From a player's perspective, very quickly, I mean, what would your response as a player be if you had your premiership taken off you?
Like, it'd be shattering. Well, so they say they still think it's theirs, but and who knows what happened before the salary cap was scrutinized the way it is these days. That's comparing oranges to apples. You just can't do that. You've got to play the cards you're dealt and stay in your own lanes. All the analogies, and I would be shattered. I would be shattered if it was my first ever premiership and it got taken off me because of backroom dealings that I had that I wasn't privy to.
Yeah.
I'd be filthy. I'd be shattered. It'd be something that I'd never get over.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you say, the Storm players still consider themselves premiership players from those years.
Yeah.
The record books say they're not. So, you know.
As they say, you read the paper tomorrow. It's read the paper.
Absolutely.
Fish and chips paper now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we've reached the podium of our top moments that mattered from the decade of rugby league. Just recapping from 10 to 1. Number 10 was the introduction of the no punch rule. Number 9 was Tonga defeating Australia for the first time ever. At 8, we had James Tedesco's thrilling match-winning try in State of Origin 3, 2019. At number 7, with the South Sydney Rabbitohs' first premiership in 34 years in 2014. Number 6 was the Cronulla Sharks' first ever premiership win back in 2016. Number 5 was Jonathan Thurston's premiership-winning field goal in 2015. So three premierships in there for clubs. Number 4 we just went to there was the Melbourne Storm being stripped of their premiership points, stripped of their premierships and the ability to play for points all the way back in 2010. We're up to the final three, the top three. At number 3.
It's the NRL Grand Final for 2019 and it begins. Last tackle. He's found. Goes for it himself. Farrell's got over. Farrell's is in. The kid has scored the
astonishing start to the grand final.
Now it's about to be played here to Hodgson. Goes to the short left. Here's White. White! Yes! Yes! White's over! The Raiders are back! 8 minutes to go. 8 points all. Play to Keary. Veers down the left. Short pass Mitchell. Beautiful pass to Tufo. Into the backfield. Gets into the net. Goal! Goal!
And who comes from nowhere? The Ferrari. Tedesco, the best player in the game today.
Rathenham throws to Hodgson, shapes the kick, throws it on to Caesar. Caesar to Bateman, cuts back in the field, comes down to the defence of Bradley. Loose pass taken by Hodgson. Oh. And swings the kick, fallen on by Cronk. The Roosters will win. The Roosters will win the grand final.
Yeah, this was, we talk about premierships. Well, no one ever thought we'd see it. No one ever thought we'd see back-to-back premierships in the modern era. Roosters defied all the odds and did it, and they did it in a very stylish way. Canberra gave a really good account of themselves in this year's grand final, but the fact that the Roosters went back-to-back, you know, in the modern day of competition where it's so hard to win one competition, to win two in a row, is just, it's mind-blowing. It really is. We talk about salary caps and we speak about the Melbourne Storm and their dramas and how they tried to cheat the cap to maintain a team. Well, the Roosters, everyone jokes about their sombrero and everyone jokes about this and that and how can that bloke be playing there and how this – well, they – quite frankly, they are. Mm. They do it because they're one of the best – they are the best probably team club in the business to do it. In the last 25 years, they're the best club to do it. Because they're the first team to go back-to-back in the NRL since Brisbane in 92-93.
And given the names that they bring into that club, outside of the Melbourne Storm because of previous behaviour, as we said, they would have to be one of the most carefully scrutinised salary caps in the competition. Just because, you know,
of course they are.
Your everyday punter sees the names that come into that club and thinks, hold on, how are they getting all these names? You reckon the NRL's not thinking the same thing?
Of course. And you play less to be in a better team. If you've got your head screwed on right as a rugby league player, a la Brett Morris, he'd be playing for chicken feed this year. He would have been playing for petrol money. But somewhere deep down, he knew he was going to get a brand new set of golf clubs from Drummond Golf out there at Penrith. And he was going to get a premiership, which is even more important. And he did. I've got no doubt that Hargrave's recent re-signing. I've got no doubt Joey Manu's recent re-signing. I've got no doubt that Tucker Yahow's recent re-signing, they've all signed for less than they could have got anywhere else. And not just a little bit less, I think a lot less than they could have got anywhere else. But dynasty is paramount in anything we do. And if you can create a dynasty which I believe is the hardest sport on the planet, well, you can't put a price on that.
Yeah, and you look at just, you know, back-to-back premierships. The $1 million a season they forked out, the decision for Mitchell Pearce to leave and bring Cooper Cronk in at $1 million a season, well worth the investment for what he's brought to the club. He brought two premierships. Trent Robinson is throwing his hand up as if coach not already, coach of the decade, along with side Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, split match between them.
Boyd Cordner.
Yep.
The season he had this year in 2019, off the back of winning it as captain alongside Jake Friend last year, and then this year captaining his country, captaining his state, and captaining the Roosters again to another premiership. And then James Tedesco, the season he put together as well. This Roosters team, you know, I think a lot of people probably tipped them at the start of the year.
Let's not forget they're starting to develop players like Nat Butcher and Victor Radley, you know, and these guys, and Mitch Orbison, who's been a mainstay at this club, is just one of them guys that, quite frankly, every club needs. Club needs a Mitch Orbison.
Well, Mitch Orbison will be able to tell his grandkids that he started as in the number 7 in the 2018 grand final.
Good trivia question.
Great trivia question. All right, we're up to the silver and the gold medal positions for our moments that mattered this decade. At number 2.
Queensland have won their 8th consecutive series. It is a wonderful Australian sports achievement. The champions prevail, the dynasty continues. The Maroon of Queensland, they celebrate across the northern state. They celebrate across Australia, the Queensland supporters. New South Wales, they needn't be humbled by their efforts tonight. They have been absolutely brilliant, given the injuries and problems they had coming up in preparation. But this is a champion. 8 in a row for the Maroons and Mal Meninga.
Yeah, both 2-1 in the countdown. We'll never see again. We'll never see an Origin team go through 8 Origin series in a row undefeated. It's like we will never see something like the Dragons of the 55-66 premiership winning team win 11 straight grand finals. It'll just never happen. Mm. The fact that it did in the modern era, it just blows my mind. It blows my mind because it wasn't as if New South Wales didn't have a good calibre of player.
Mm.
We had some fantastic players, and in fact, sometimes most of the fullback would be, a New South Welshman. But this Queensland side, just every side that would go in there, they had the nucleus of the superstars. They had the superstar coach in Mal Meninga, but that doesn't all bode well if you haven't got the attitude to have belief in that coat of arms that's hanging over your chest. And they did. They bought into it so well. Mm. Mal Meninga's a motivating man just by standing in a room next to him. You get motivated. Every Queenslander who went into this team with the likes of Thurston and Lockyer and Slater and Smith and Inglis, we rattle off their names, but if they weren't so good at what they did in this Origin series, in this 8 in a row, in this period of time, well, we wouldn't even be talking about them in the same breath, but they just put that... They put everything together, and they just did it so beautifully. And as a New South Welshman, blue and blue and blue, you've got to marvel at what they did. Mm. You've just got to marvel.
Yeah, and I think, those names again you mentioned, history is going to only increase the magnitude of this achievement.
No doubt.
It is the pinnacle of the game, and the fact that you had these Queenslanders come through not only in the same era but playing for the same team at the same time, and for them to be able to gel together, as you say, against the New South Wales group of players that weren't bad, not bad at all, but they found something, they built something, and they were able to maintain it for year after year. In Phil Jackson, the famous basketball coach of the Chicago Bulls, talks about the disease of more.
Yeah.
The idea that once you win something, everyone else starts, the people, they start to think, oh, we've won it now, and now I want to look after myself. I want more. I want, or disease of me, it might be called, actually. But, it would have been so easy for this Queensland team to win one and for some of these players to start thinking about, well, now I need to look after myself.
Yep.
I'm a State of Origin player now. I've won a series. I need to look after myself. But every year, consistently, they backed up, they turned up, and they got it done again and again and again and again.
I remember being at a function in Queensland with the late, great Arthur Beetson. And it was probably around 2009, 2010 maybe. And he was sitting on the stage with Tommy Radonikis, guest speaking. And I was I went before the guys. So that would have been the main event. And I was speaking, and I was talking about Origin dominance. And I remember Arthur Beetson saying, this team will win 7 in a row, 7 series. And they'd won 3 at the time, I think.
Mm.
And everyone laughed at him. And honestly, and Tommy Radonikis give it to him because he's the next New South Wales coach. He said, come on, Arthur. You got to be fair dinkum, mate. He said, mate, I am being fair dinkum. He said, what I'm seeing is something I've never seen before. And it's right. I'm saying that with, obviously maroon and white eyes, but this team has just got everything going for it. And they'll win 7 in a row. Well, Arthur was almost right. They won 8.
Mm.
And, he predicted it, went 3 series in. And all of a sudden they chalked up 8 series in a row. Even under Freddie's watch at the moment, I think New South Wales fans can really feel what the Queensland supporters felt for so long, because even after these last 2 years, you feel the joy in the state, and all of a sudden it starts to engulf you, and all of a sudden Origin means something more to you. Especially these young kids coming through us who are watching. Well, you ask most New South Wales kids around the the late teens, early 20s, all go for Queensland. Because they were winners.
Yeah.
They were winners, but now these guys are starting, our guys are starting to change that type of direction because they're winning Origin Series and winners are grinners, as they say.
Everyone loves a winner. All right, we have arrived at the moment that mattered most this decade, from 2010 to 2019. So many things have gone before it. But this is the number one moment from the last decade of rugby league.
Every rugby league supporter across this great country, we congratulate Cameron Smith, first player in history to get to 400 games and maybe the only player ever. But one thing you can't take away is tonight he becomes the first player to play 400 NRL games.
400th premiership match. We've been opponents, teammates and friends for over 25 years. Tonight is all about celebrating your achievements as the greatest player a game has ever seen. We are all proud of what you have achieved and excited for what else is to come. Best of luck tonight.
No player sees the game like him. With ball in hand, it's like he sees it in slow motion. He made me a better player. He makes everyone a better player. And at the same time, he is consistently the best player. That is why his status in our game is unrivaled. Tonight's occasion is the first time I'm going to miss running out alongside my mate. All the best in your 400th game, Cam.
Nothing eclipses it. Nothing will ever get close to it. No one will get 400 games in over 111 years of NRL since 1908. He's the first bloke to do it. With the backlog of Origin and Test matches to boot. This is the best player that's ever played our game. I don't know if he'll be the best player ever, but up until 2020, Cameron Smith is the best player that's played our game. Not just for the stats, but for the way he's reinvented himself time and time and time and time again. He started as a little rangy halfback slash hooker from Logan in Queensland. He came down to the Melbourne Storm in late 2002, and all of a sudden he found himself in Origin a year later. The kid had instant success. The man that he's became now has agreed to have another season. I'm so glad he has. I'm so glad he has, because I think we're going to see him play a bit of halfback next year, which I'm frothing at the mouth seeing him in the number 7 jersey. He mightn't wear the number 7 jersey because of, you know, the number
Craig
9.
Craig Bellamy playing.
The number 9 jersey for Melbourne is probably worth a lot more these days. But to do it in the NRL, which is the hardest competition in the world, I tip my lid to James Graham.
Yeah, that's something that people will flag. They'll say, well, James Graham's played 405 total at club level.
I tip my lid to him, but it's honestly chalk and cheese.
225 of those came with St. Helens before he turned up here to play with the Bulldogs.
I think James Graham would be the first to admit that. After playing in both competitions for probably the same amount of time, he'd say that, you know, the NRL is far superior. And for what Cameron Smith's done at hooker, by having to make 40 tackles a game to reach 400 games, then probably break nearly every record along the way that he's done, words escape me.
Yeah, well, he currently sits on 411 games for the Melbourne Storm, which is another talking point. But the second on all-time games played list for the NRL is Cooper Cronk, his teammate for so many years on 372. Cooper Cronk's retired.
Yep.
Paul Gallen. He was the next longest games played player. He's got 348. Paul Gallen's now retired.
Yep.
I think Wade Graham is sort of potentially the one who could get closest. Wade Graham's got 230 games and he's 29 years of age. So he's not going to get there.
I think if anyone, you know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, Mitchell Pearce or maybe Nathan Cleary are the two who have an asterisk next to their name of potential chasers down of this 400-game record, because Nathan Cleary's 21. He's already played, I think, 100 first-grade games. And I think later in his career he'll develop into a hooker. He would do the reverse of Cameron Smith. So if anyone will get close, the current crop I'm talking about, who knows? I can only judge on what I'm seeing.
Nathan Cleary is 22 years of age. He's played 79 first grade games. So, Mitchell Pearce has played 277 games, but he's 30.
Yep.
You'd say it's beyond him.
Yep. We'll never see it again. As I said, we'll never ever see 400 games in because evolution says to me that it's only going to get harder to get to that milestone as the players get bigger, stronger, and faster. And then when the interchange ultimately gets reduced to 6, it's going to be harder in this game, not easier. So to reach 400 games, I remember last year seeing, okay, he needs a certain amount next year to do it. I said, I hope that we see it in that year. I hope, but not only did he smash it, he went and played another 11 games past that. he's a freak.
Yeah.
He's a freak.
And to that point, MG, durability, that's probably not something that you know, coaches are looking to develop, or coaches are looking at young kids. They're saying, is he durable? They're probably looking, you know, what's has he got flair? Has he got talent? All the rest of that.
Is he explosive?
Exactly. But Cam Smith's durability.
That's a good point.
Is something that the league has just not seen before.
No, and we'll never see it again. We've seen players over the years that have been kind of like that. You know, Wayne Pearce was a durable player, Mitch's dad, but succumbed to injury. Every player that I think about who was durable at some time succumbed to injury, and Cameron Smith hasn't done it. Cameron Smith must do so much away from prying eyes to have such an unbelievable core strength. The way he throws blokes in defence, the wrestling side of it has helped him. Has helped Melbourne, because they are the best at it. Every team does it, but Melbourne have perfected it. And the fact that Cameron Smith is, you ask anyone in the game, you know, who has played for Melbourne, who was the best wrestler when you're in Melbourne? Cameron Smith by a mile.
Mm.
He'd get you in. You know, he could have been a UFC fighter if he could throw his dukes. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him go into jiu-jitsu tournaments after he finishes these.
Yeah.
with his NRL commitments.
Look, there's a host of current players who are certainly going to get to 300 games. We spoke about Wade Graham. Ben Hunt is on track at the age of 29. Jared Croker, who's just turned 29, has already got 250 NRL games, first grade games to his credit.
When you say that, like when you say blokes like that, Croker and Wade and
McCullough for the Broncos.
There's still 100 odd games away from Cameron Smith.
There's still five, six years away.
It's I think the mountain's too far.
And Cam Smith's still going.
Yeah, he'll get to, what, so how many games, 25 next year, say. Let's say he plays 20, he gets a 431. Come on, no one's catching that. No one's catching that.
And 102 representative game.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. It's when you really think about it, when you stop and think about what he's done, it blows your mind. It's extraordinary.
Extraordinary indeed. Those were the moments that mattered for the decade of rugby league. If you disagree, you think we missed some. Hit us up at Rush Hour Triple M is where to get us with your thoughts. MG, we've only got one podcast left in this series, and it's a mixed bag. We're gonna get through everything we haven't touched on so far this decade and make some predictions for the 2020s ahead.
I've been loving these, and I hope the listeners of the podcast have too. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay bloody random.